بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Continuing with the kitab إصلاح العقائد, correction of our beliefs in accordance with the أهل السنة والجماعة. And yesterday we had discussed our عقائد and beliefs with regard to the أنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام, and particularly with الله عليه وسلم. And as we had mentioned the last point, that it is the view of the Ahlul Sunnah that that portion of land touching the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more virtuous than every other place, including the Kaaba, the Arsh, the Kursi, etc. This has been mentioned by many ulama-i kiram, many of our Salafus Salihin, Qadi Iyad rahimahullah, Allama Haskafi, the great Hanafi jurist and faqih, has also mentioned this, that the Mubarak grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the soil and the sand, particles that are touching the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the most virtuous place in the entire universe. And thereafter ulama explained that if somebody has an objection, an ishkal, that the arsh, which is the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the throne of the king, this is supposed to be the most virtuous place in the universe, more virtuous than the sand and soil, which is the creation of Allah. So the answer that ulama have given, very beautifully they explain, is that the arsh and the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite being the throne of the king, but we know, as we mentioned 2 days ago, that when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence, then Allah is not in need of a physical or rather a bodily existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond this, is free from having a physical body and being restricted and confined to space. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not physically on His arsh and His throne. And therefore the throne is not physically in contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas the soil and the sand in the grave of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, this is physically in contact with the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And He is the best of Allah's creation. For this reason, ulama have mentioned that this Mubarak grave of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is the most virtuous place in the entire world, the entire universe. There is nothing more virtuous and more lofty than the grave of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Thereafter, he explains that the actual proof of a Nabi is his being, qualities and teachings. The actual proof of a Nabi, how do we know that a Nabi is truthful, that he has been commissioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the actual proof of a Nabi is his being, qualities and teachings. Intelligent people will easily believe after seeing this. For the general masses who are affected by outward signs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifested on their hands astounding feats which were beyond the power and ability of man. These feats are referred to as mu'jiza, the miracles of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. But as Mawlana is explaining here, the mu'jizat and the miracles of the Anbiya, these were secondary. The primary proof and dalil of the truthfulness of the Nabi was his own being, his own qualities, attributes, his akhlaq, his compassion. In the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ, that it is only the rahmat, the mercy, the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, that you were soft, you were lenient, compassionate towards the people. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you are harsh, if you are hard-hearted, if you had to be stern with them, then they would have dispersed and ran away. They wouldn't have had the capacity and ability to remain in your company. So the akhlaq, the attributes, the qualities of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, this is the greatest proof of their truthfulness. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, it is mentioned that in the early days of Madina Munawwara, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had made hijrah, then the Ansar of Madina had all come with whatever hadiah, whatever gift they could bring, and they offered it to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The mother of Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, she also came, and then she addressed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. She said to him that, O Nabi of Allah, everybody else has given some hadiah, some gift to you. I have nothing to present. Financially, I don't have the means. I don't have anything to offer to you. All that I have to offer to you is this young son and child of mine. So I'm handing him over to you. Let him be your khadim and your attendant. Anas radiallahu anhu, tender age. And he then served Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for approximately 10 years. And he then mentions that in that entire time, as a young boy, trying to make the khidmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we can imagine how daunting it must have been. But he says in that entire 10-year period, there wasn't a single time that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam frowned at me. There wasn't a single time that he asked me that I had done something, and that he then questioned me and said, why did you do it? Or where I didn't do something, that he came to me and asked, why did you not do this? But whatever I managed, didn't manage, however I did it, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tolerated this. So this was the compassion, the shafqat, the kindness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This was the mu'jizah and the miracle. And it is mentioned even the mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarramah, they also understood from the akhlaq and the outer attributes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that this is a truthful person. The incident is mentioned of Ubay bin Khalaf. Ubay bin Khalaf, we know Umayyah bin Khalaf was his brother. He was the master of Bilal radiallahu anhu, responsible for persecuting him. And great amount of taklif and persecution he had put Bilal radiallahu anhu under. So Ubay bin Khalaf was his brother. On one occasion he mentioned to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that I have a horse which I have reared and grown up from a young age. I feed it the best of food and I take care of this horse. And my intention is when this horse is of age, it has strength, then I will get onto the back of this horse and I will ride it in your direction. And while I am on the back of this horse, I will then take your life. So he says this to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, O Ubay, rather I will be the one to take your life. And when he said this to him, how afraid Ubay bin Khalaf became. So here ulama explain how much of conviction, how much of yaqeen, even a mushrik, a disbeliever had on the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is mentioned later on in one of the battles, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was in the saf of qital, of fighting. Ubay bin Khalaf says to the people around him, that I better attack Muhammad before he attacks me. Because if he attacks me, definitely he will kill me. So saying this, he moves in the direction of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And as he gets closer, Sahaba radiallahu anhum attempt to ward him off. He comes closer and he's now within arm's distance of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam takes his spear and he thrusts it in the direction of Ubay bin Khalaf. And the narration mentions just a small graze on the side of his neck. The moment this spear or the sword touches him, he goes into a frenzy, panic, that Muhammad has killed me, Muhammad has killed me. And he runs back to his people, his camp, and he continues to repeat this phrase, Muhammad has killed me. So it's mentioned that the leader of the mushrikeen at that time had mentioned to him that, oh Ubay, this is just a surface wound, just a small graze, nothing will happen to you. That calm down and your life hasn't been taken. But he says, no, I have conviction in the words of Muhammad that he promised me he will be the one to take my life. Saying this, he gets onto his conveyance and he proceeds in the direction of Makkah Mukarramah. And because of that fear, that terror that had gripped him, en route to Makkah Mukarramah, he passes away, he dies. So such conviction, such yaqeen that even the mushrik, even the kafir, the disbeliever had in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran also, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. That which the messenger gives to you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خُذُوهُ, grab onto it, hold onto it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُمْ فَانْتَهُ. And that which he prohibits you from, and he does not allow you to do, then abstain from this, desist from it. So this is a very important part of our aqeedah regarding Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. Every teaching, every sunnat, every practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one is for us to have iman in it. And then to believe that every teaching of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is absolutely beneficial. And not just beneficial, but absolutely imperative and necessary for me also. For my benefit, for my success in dunya, in qabr, in akhirat. Every single teaching and sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is important. Many incidents have been mentioned also. The incident of that sahabi by the name of Julaybib radiallahu anhu, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses in the Quran Sharif, that Julaybib was a sahabi who was not blessed with a very good physical appearance as far as his external looks were concerned. Julaybib also, this word in Arabic, is the diminutive, the small form of the word jilbab. Jilbab, we know, is a covering, a shawl or a cloak that the masturat wear. So he was called Julaybib, the small shawl. Because of his stature, he was very short. It was not blessed with a good appearance. And it's mentioned Damim, that he actually had a repulsive external appearance. And nobody was prepared to hand over their daughter or their sister in marriage to him. Together with this dimension, he had no known lineage, which was a major defect amongst the Arabs. So one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came to an Ansari Sahabi. He says to him that, "I wish to send a proposal for your daughter." The Sahabi is overjoyed. He says, "By all means, O Nabi of Allah, which proposal can be better than yours?" Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says to him, "It's not for myself. It's for one of my companions." He says, "Who is it, O Nabi of Allah?" He says, "For Julaybi." The Sahabi became so shocked. He didn't know what answer to give. So he says, "O Nabi of Allah, let me ask my wife." The ulama say how a person is put into a tight situation, and he says, "I need to ask the government at home." So the same thing the Sahabi does. He says, "Let me go and make mashwara and consult with her mother first." So he goes home, and he asks his wife that the Nabi of Allah has sent a proposal. She says, "Very good, alhamdulillah." He says, "Hold on, it's not for himself, it's for Julaybib." She says, "Impossible. There's so many other suitors that had come, asked for her hand in marriage, of higher lineage and physical appearance, etc. And we turned all of them down, that they were not good enough for her. But how can we ever accept the proposal of Julaybib?" It's mentioned when this young girl heard this, and she came out, and she addresses her mother and she says to her, that how dare you reject the suggestion and the advice of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. If this is a proposal he has sent, definitely there's khair and goodness in it. And the narrator mentions as though the words of this young girl woke something up in her parents, that now their eyes also opened, realized that if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has sent this proposal, definitely there's khair and goodness in it. So they rush back, the father goes back, "O Nabi of Allah, we will accept your proposal." And like this, the nikah is performed to Julaybib. So in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, وَمَا كَانَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَ. It is not appropriate, not correct. It is not allowed for a believing male, believing female. إِذَا قَضَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا. When Allah and His Rasul decide upon any matter, أَيَّكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. That they then say, "I want to have a choice." Or, "I want to see, I want to look into it and decide." Rather, they've got to submit wholeheartedly to the command and the suggestion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And it mentioned the outcome of this mashwara and the consultation of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. What a mote Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Sahabi with. One expedition, one battle, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after everything had died down, he asked the Sahaba that, "Is there anybody missing from amongst us, anyone who is not here?" So they look around, they say, "There's nobody missing, we can't see anybody who's not here." Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, "But where's Julaybib? I can't find him." So they go onto the battlefield, they find his body. It's mentioned with 7 of the enemy around him. How bravely and courageously he had fought, he had taken the lives of 7 of the opposition. And finally he was then made shaheed. It's mentioned Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, single-handedly without assistance from anybody else, carried the body of Julaybib on his shoulders and thereafter placed his body into the qabr and into the grave. So this was the barakat of the mashwara of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That widow thereafter, they mentioned that there was no home in Medina Munawwara more wealthy than her home. Allah blessed her with such wealth of dunya because she submitted to the command of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So part of our aqidah and our belief, whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives to a person, his teachings, his sunnah, and his advice that he has given to us, absolutely beneficial, absolutely necessary and imperative in our lives. So this was with regard to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And thereafter, he explains the discussion on tawassul. Tawassul, wasila, which in shari'at refers to when a person makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using an intermediary. Using either some action, as will be discussed, the 3 different types of tawassul, wasila, that a person uses an intermediary in his dua in order to get his dua accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is beyond comparison, beyond example. But ulama explain, in dunya also, if I need some work done, and I know there is a certain person who is well connected, and he is able to get my work done for me, in our worldly terms, and I have a friend who is his friend. So they say, a friend of a friend is a friend. So how, when I make contact with that person, I will slip in the name of my friend also. That I am this person's friend, and I grew up with him, I went to school with him, and we still have a very good relationship, hoping that this person takes pity upon me, that he is the friend of my friend, let me assist him and help him. So in the same way, in a similar way, of course Allah is beyond comparison, but a person is attempting to get his dua accepted in the court of Allah using tawassul, using an intermediary. So he mentions here that the shar'i meaning of tawassul is to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using those words, actions or personalities which are accepted and beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an intermediary or means for getting one's dua accepted. As an example, by stating, O Allah, by the blessings of these, please accept our dua. There are three wasilas, three channels by means of which it is desirable to make dua. So three types of wasila. The first is the Asma'ul Husna, to utilize the blessed names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst making dua to draw His mercy. As we hear in the dua commonly, Ya Arhamar Rahimin, a person takes this attribute of Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Hannan, Ya Mannan. We have the Asma'ul Husna that we read, and a person takes these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat explains to us also, Damul Barakatuhu, that behind every name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an entire storehouse. One is the rahmat and mercy of Allah, the sustenance of Allah. Allah is Ar-Razzaq. Behind this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is His entire storehouse and warehouse of His treasures and sustenance. A person will take these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will make the dua beloved to Allah and more readily accepted in the court of Allah. So one is to use the names of Allah. We find in different riwayat also, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi asma'ika al-husna. Oh Allah, I am asking you through your beautiful names, wa sifatika al-ula, through your lofty attributes. So this is the first channel, the first type of wasila. Secondly, for a person to use his good a'mal, good actions, to mention some righteous action which one had carried out with the aim of drawing acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, through my fasting in the month of Ramadan, through the barakat of my Quran tilawat, or some sadaqah that I may have given, some khidmat I made for someone, through the barakat of this amal of mine, accept my dua. We know the famous incident which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, of those three individuals who were in the cave, and there was a landslide, and a boulder or rock had blocked the exit of the cave, and then each person went forward individually and mentioned one amal, one action in their life that they had done solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've heard the incident before. First person explained that he had a family member, a young girl who was very beloved to him, very beautiful in appearance, a very chaste young girl. And she went through some difficult time. She was forced to come to him for assistance. And thereafter she was forced to agree to his clauses and conditions. So he says to her that, I will assist you financially on condition that you allow me to fulfill my desire with you. So, very reluctantly, due to a circumstance, she agreed. And he says, I was on the brink of fulfilling my desire with her. You can imagine the peak of the desire of a person. And he's about to fulfill his desire, and she says, O slave of Allah, fear Allah. He says, her words hit me, and I turned away. And then he says, O Allah, if I did this amal only for your pleasure, then make a way out for us. And the boulder then moved a little bit. And a little bit of sunlight came into the cave. Second person went forward. Lengthy incident. He explains, oh Allah, I had elderly parents. And I had young children. I would go out the entire day and work in the farm. And I would bring back a pail of milk. And my practice, my habit, was to always give this to my parents first. And it was so happened that I got delayed. I came back late one evening. My parents had already fallen asleep. And the young children were there, they were crying, thirsty, asking for milk, asking for something to drink. But oh Allah, out of love and respect for my parents, I stood next to their bedside the entire night. And I did not allow my children to drink until my parents had their share. Oh Allah, if I did this, seeking your pleasure and for you alone, then make a way out for us. And again that boulder moves a little bit. A third person, he says, oh Allah, I had a worker and he left suddenly. And there were still some wages that were outstanding and due to him. I took these wages, I reinvested it. And it multiplied and multiplied and grew. And many cattle and many crops and farms that had now come out of this wages that I had invested. Many years later, this worker came. And he came into my property. He says, O slave of Allah, where is my right? I'm demanding it from you. So he says that I mentioned to him that, O slave of Allah, whatever you see here is all yours. this entire fields and the cattle, etc., this all belongs to you. This is what I had invested of your little bit of wages you had left behind. So he says, oh Allah, if I did this for your pleasure, make a way out for us. And then that boulder moved, and it was enough for them to then come out of that cave. Allah saved their lives in this world because of this little amal that they had, that they did only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat explained also before many times that every person should have some amal, some action that is only between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Absolutely nobody else knows about it. His own wife doesn't know about it. His children don't know about it. His parents don't know about it. Just between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a spare wheel on the day of Qiyamah. That if all else fails, my daily a'mal and my ibadat, if that is not up to scratch, at least I can bring out this spare wheel. Oh Allah, I did this one amal only between you and I for no fame, no name in this world. Nobody knew about it except this amal. At least make my maghfirat, allow me to enter Jannat. So one is to make tawassul using some good amal, some good action. And thirdly, using the special servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And first and foremost is Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. That a person takes the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Allah, accept my dua through the wasila and intermediary of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's mentioned one sahabi had come, blind sahabi, you know, he had some issue with his eyesight. He says, O Nabi of Allah, make dua for me. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said to him that I can make dua for you, or if you wish, you can make sabr. This will be better for you, that you make sabr upon your condition. So he thinks about it. He says, O Nabi of Allah, make dua for me. I can't manage. Here also we understand, ulama explain, at times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us different options in our deen. Permissible. Sometimes we have the harder option, the harder route, and the easier route. So we find Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, whenever he was given a choice in deen, each time there was a choice put to him, he chose the easier, comfortable option. Deen is easy. It should not be that now, in an effort to make mujahada, a person chooses the difficult option, and then we know what happens. He keeps up to it for a few days, and because of the difficulty, he then falls flat completely. As one Ali mentioned also, that a person has, alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us with geezers, and we have all the amenities at home. Now on a cold winter's morning, a person says, I'm going to make wudu in freezing cold water. So the alim says, that this is not mujahada, this is stupidity. That Allah gave you the bounty, blessing of Allah, use it. Use it, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, O Nabi of Allah, make dua for me. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam teaches him that you now go and perform a perfect wudu, and then you make dua to Allah and say the following words. Allahumma inni as'aluka wa atawajjahu ilayka binabiyyika Muhammadin nabiyyir rahma. Oh Allah, I ask of you and I turn my attention to you through the barakat of your Nabi, who is the Nabi of rahmat and mercy. And by saying this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove this condition that you are facing and suffering. It's mentioned Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu would teach people in his khilafat, he would teach people this particular dua also. And in some calamity, some difficulty, that take these words, Allahumma inni as'aluka, Allah, I ask you, wa atawajjahu ilayka, I turn my attention to you, binabiyika Muhammadin, through your Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nabiyyir rahma. And like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the intermediary of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, will remove a person's whatever difficulty that a person is experiencing. Here ulama explained that this is not shirk. A person can only ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not asking from the Nabi or from the buzruk or the pious person. But we, as we mentioned earlier, that in this dunya also we understand how it works, the system. That I use some contact or somebody who has some connection and link somewhere, I use them to get my work done like this. We're using these amal or these pious people to get our work done, to get our du'as accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is with regard to tawassul and wasila. And then he explains just a few points and we'll conclude. That requesting the pious to make du'a on one's behalf, since this is not proven for the dead, this form is restricted to the living, except for the anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. That one is now wasila, a person is making du'a, and the other is asking someone to make du'a for us. This can only be done with the living. A person cannot go to the grave of some pious person who has left this world and now ask him to make dua whether Allah has given him life or not in his grave, we don't know. Yes, the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. A person can go to the qabr of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Once we were sitting in the haram of Madina Munawwara, Hazrat Mu'inus Patel Sahib rahmatullah alayhi was there, and we asked him the question, that when we go to the Roza Mubarak, what should we ask? So Hazrat explained that time rahmatullah alayhi, that go in front and say, O Nabi of Allah, you make dua for me. And you ask Allah to fulfill my needs. Person can address Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam like this. So with regard to the Anbiya, we can ask them to make dua for us, or ask Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. One can ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at his blessed grave to supplicate on behalf of him. One should not stand at the graves of others and ask them to make dua. To make dua to Allah by the blessings of an accepted servant, this is to make dua to Allah by the wasila and means of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, or the awliya and the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that O Allah, fulfill this work of mine by the wasila of so and so. We have our Hazrat in dua also, that O Allah, through the tufail, through the sadaqah, through the blessings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, accept our dua. So this is something for us to include in our dua also. Not that now a person is making dua on his own strength, that I am raising my hands. Definitely, Allah will accept our duas. Every mu'min, every believer's dua is accepted. But we take the name of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam at least. That O Allah, through the barakat and blessings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, accept my dua. This action is permissible and in fact meritorious and better, since it is a means for the acceptance of dua. This is referred to as tawassul. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding and give us tawfiq. We continue tomorrow inshallah. Brothers can engage in Surah Yasin thereafter our morning duas and zikr inshallah. Many brothers may be tired also, they've spent the entire night awake, alhamdulillah. But these are the sunnah practices of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. One is our ibadat at night, which is nafil, optional. So a little bit more mujahada, a little bit more effort now inshallah, to fulfill these sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, our surah Yasin, then our morning duas. And thereafter we will get a chance to take rest inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inshallah we'll just read through the morning and evening duas together, as we explained, just for us to get familiar on our tongues. The order is a bit different in this kitab, so we'll just read it as it appears here. Dua for freedom from the fire of Jahannam. Allahumma ajirni minan nar. 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 Protection from the evil of man and jinn. A'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tammati min sharri ma khalaq. Protection against all harm. بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. Thereafter protection against all evils. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. دعاء for salvation from the worries of both the worlds. حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. After the last verses of Surah Al-Hashr, where the angels seek forgiveness on a person's behalf. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. Protection of one's deen, life, family and wealth. بسم الله على ديني ونفسي وولدي وأهلي ومالي. بسم الله على ديني ونفسي وولدي وأهلي ومالي. بسم الله على ديني ونفسي وولدي وأهلي ومالي. There are quite a few others. Just one more that we'll recite. سيد الاستغفار, which we learned yesterday also. The person recites this, then this is the best form of استغفار. اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء بذنبي فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. These kitabs, my dear brothers, the different copies have these du'as in different order. So let us try and use the same copy every day if possible, so that we are able to create some sort of tartib and sequence in our minds, and this makes it easier to facilitate memorization, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala accept and give us tawfiq, inshallah. We make zikr and dua now. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. فاذكروني أذكركم أنا جليس من ذكرني. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله، 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. الله جل جلاله تعالى شأنه. الله 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 جل جلاله. الله 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 جل جلاله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله، لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان وجعلنا هداة مهتدين غير ضالين ولا مضلين. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا، وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان، وجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يبلغنا إلى حبك. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا ومن أهلينا ومن الماء البارد. اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك، وأتمم علينا نعمتك، وجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين. اللهم آتنا أفضل ما تؤتي عبادك الصالحين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا، ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا، وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة، إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. اللهم إنا نسألك ونتوجه إليك بنبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبي الرحمة، أن تغفر لنا وترحمنا يا أرحم الراحمين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. There's about 15-16 minutes left for Ishraq time, my dear brothers. As we mentioned, brothers are tired. We spend the entire night or significant portion of the night in ibadat. These 10-15 minutes are very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With mujahada against a person's nafs, the eyes are closing, body is shutting down. But just to keep alive the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the promised rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's possible these 10-15 minutes are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than our other ibadat also. So let us make this effort to remain awake, engage in some Quran tilawat 5-10 minutes, and thereafter will be Ishraq time, thereafter we can take rest inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq inshallah.